will be no Halloween celebrations during school hours at one New Jersey school district. The superintendent for the South Orange Maplewood School District says he's ending celebrations to build equity and foster inclusion.
See, I told you it was a real thing. When I do the transgressive memorial service on Friday, which if you've never heard, that's at 6:20 is the early service and 8:20 is the late service. And, you know, I pretend to be a woke pastor at the sort of funeral for things that got canceled this week. And Halloween was one of the ones this last week. You know, I just every once in a while I try to remind you that I don't invent those stories. I mean, I fabricate the ones at the end that are like, the, you know, on your way out or the refreshments. Okay, fine. But the actual stories, the actual things that are threatened to get canceled or getting canceled or whatever, those are all real things from the headlines. The superintendent?
The superintendent says he's making the recommendations so students with financial limitations or those who don't celebrate Halloween because of cultural or religious reasons don't feel isolated.
Yeah, because there are groups of religious people who do not believe in celebrating Halloween. You know, for a variety of reasons. And they're not all Jehovah's Witnesses, okay? There are some, you know, devout Christian, conservative Christians who believe that it's, you know, Witches' Day or a Satanic Day or, you know, there's a variety of things. And, you know, I have always thought that, look, if you don't want to participate in, you know, Halloween at your house, I mean, that's, of course, fine, you know, if you don't want to. But why would you pass up an opportunity to participate in joy and make kids happy and have a good time? Well, Andrew, it's the Devil's Day. Okay, okay. the worst is there was a house in a neighborhood that we used to live in a long time ago, and they were the Christian house, you know, which, I mean, we are too, but we just don't put lights out. And they would have a big lit up cross, like out on their like a Christmas lights version of a cross on the top of their garage all the time, so everybody knew this is a Christian house. At Halloween, no candy, lights off, doors closed. The cross on the roof. And I'm like, you are not advertising well for our brand. You're doing, or, and look, bless your heart if you do this, but, you know, here, kids, I know you're hoping for a Snickers bar, but here's a tract on how you can get eternal salvation. Like, oh, stop it. Come on. At least if you're going to do that, attach it to the biggest Snickers bar you can find. Like, go the full, you know, get the big one. You know, the one that's like the 6-inch long, the giant Snickers bar. Like, have the best candy in the whole neighborhood if you're going to attach it to an evangelical alternative. Anyway, back to this, I just, you know, different things that I think are entertaining. I mean, you literally have people come into your door. Make hay out of it. You know, do something useful. 437-1620. But this story just, it's amazing. You know, well, some of the kids, you know, they can't afford the good costumes. Okay. Sometimes in life, there's inequality. It'll be all right, you know, or some of the families. Well, okay, so don't participate. You know, don't participate. You don't have to get rid of a thing that kids love just because somebody's not going to have happiness about it.
I think it makes total sense. There's people that can't afford costumes. There's people that don't celebrate Halloween. Again, it's just there are so many other things to worry about. I'm not worried about this issue.
We are going to cater our society to the most obnoxious, least participating, or the people who might be bothered or offended or upset the most. Well, that's the modern liberal state, right? That's the modern, everybody gets a participation trophy, everybody gets a pat on the head, you know, nice job, you tried, and we care so much about hurting people's feelings that we just don't do anything anymore. So anyway, just, again, you'd think when you're listening to the transgressors, and I'm making it up about, like, the superintendent for equity and inclusion. No, they really had a superintendent for equity and inclusion.
The superintendent says he believes the new recommendations will foster inclusion and build equity and a sense of belonging throughout the district.
Nothing like getting rid of things in order that create inclusion, activity, sharing, and entertainment to foster belonging. I think you've got it backwards, sir. 6:15 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. This is just one of those cool stories, okay? Came out of the World Series Game 2. That was the blowout game. The Diamondbacks just destroyed the Rangers in Game 2. And in the ninth inning of Game 2, Tommy Pham, former Cardinal, plays for the Diamondbacks, had a chance to go 5-for-5, would have been the first person ever in history to do it. Nobody's ever gone 5-for-5 in a World Series game. And he was up in the ninth inning, and he told Coach, he said, "Hey, we are so far ahead. I know this guy over here, who I've been playing with for a long time as a buddy, he's not going to get in one of these games, you know, because, he's a marginal player, right? He's there for just in case, but he's probably not going to get into one of these games. Can you let him bet for me?" And he did. And the dude's like, oh. So a guy got into a World Series game.
That's awesome.
Because his, you know, his friend was a decent guy and said, I don't really care about that. 5 for 5, whatever. You know, when is the next time you're going to get to be in a World Series game at all? Go ahead, man. So I just think that's a great story, and I love it. 616 on News Radio 92.3. Jake's got traffic for you.
Man, that's a friend right there.
Wow. I know, right?
Man, Christmas gift for that guy. Okay, so we're still watching this area, Scenic Highway and I-10. Looks like close to the GE plant in the curve. It's closed in both directions due to a vehicle crash. And I also believe that there is some hubbub going on there at the Dairy Queen that is rerouting drivers back to the interstate. So if you can avoid I-10 and Scenic Highway in any way, please, please do. If you have any traffic info to report, thank you for your text this morning. 437-1620. This is News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
The Port of Pensacola is more than just a name. It's a powerhouse of economic opportunities, a strategic location that sparks growth and prosperity, contributing significantly to the local and regional economy with 23 incredible businesses that call this port home. Big names like C-Max Materials, GE Wind Energy, and soon the prestigious American Magic Sailing Team. Since 1754, the Port of Pensacola has been the driving force behind Northwest Florida's economic success. Explore more at portofpensacola.com.
News Radio 92.3 reminds you that hurricane season is underway. Forecasters are predicting another above normal year for storms. And the Generator Guys are your local generator provider. Are you prepared? Don't be caught without power for days or even weeks. When the storm hits, you should be 1 week ready. And the News Radio 92.3 crew will be live and local with storm coverage on your radio, on your phone, and online. News Radio 92.3 and the Generator Guys are there for you.
Whether you're looking to start your education or advance your career, Pensacola State College is the place for you. Join the 95% of PSC students who graduate loan-free and select from over 100 programs, ranging from career certificates to baccalaureate degrees. In addition, Pensacola State has over 300 scholarships to choose from, including cybersecurity. Registration for the spring semester is now open. Go to PensacolaState.edu. That's PensacolaState.edu. Go here, get there.
Some days, my active psoriatic arthritis makes it hard to get in the game. Now, the ball is in my court, thanks to treating my skin and joints with SkyRizi, Risankizumab Riza, a prescription-only 150-milligram injection for adults. Nothing is everything. SkyRizi helps with less joint pain, stiffness, swelling, and fatigue. For those who also have plaque psoriasis, 90% clearer skin is possible with just 4 doses a year after 2 starter doses.
Don't use if allergic to SkyRizi. Serious allergic reactions and an increased risk of infections or a lower ability to fight them may occur. Before treatment, your doctor should check for infection and tuberculosis. Tell your doctor if you have an infection or symptoms, such as fever, sweats, chills, muscle aches, or cough, or if you plan to or recently received a vaccine.
With SkyRizi, there's nothing like clearer skin and better movement, and that means everything. Ask your doctor today about SkyRizi and visit SkyRizi.com or call 1-866-SKYRIZI to learn more.
This is Paul Epstein with Running Wild. Join me tomorrow at 10 on the Pensacola Expert Panel. Discover why we at Running Wild are the running and fitness experts in the Pensacola and Fairhope communities, specializing in fitting you in the best shoe, apparel, and training for your unique needs. We pride ourselves on serving, training, and encouraging you to reach your goals. So bring your questions tomorrow at 10.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Fox News' Guy Benson gives you the news and brings you the newsmakers every day at 2 on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
I have come here to chew bubblegum and kick ass. And I'm all out of bubblegum.
So if you love me, don't say you like me. If you like me, don't say you love me. I love you, babe.
2-1. Lifted to left center field. Thomas on the move. Not going to get there. Marcus Semien finally comes through with a base hit to left center field. Rangers strike first in game three.
Marcus Semien gives the Rangers a 1-0 lead in the third inning. Oops, sorry about that. There we go. Sorry about that. In the top of the third inning, and Semien got on to drive in a guy who had been on second. And then Corey Seager up to bat with Semien on first base.
Texas also unbeaten this postseason on the road, 8-0. Corey Seager smashes a ball down the line. Goodbye! 3-0, Texas.
Huge bomb of a home run. I mean, just no doubter. Line drive to right field. Arizona got with a man on second. Perdomo got a broken back single to left to score, and Tommy Pham struck out in the bat he did take last night to Leclerc, and the Rangers win the lead. It's 2-1 now in the World Series as they continue playing in Arizona. You know what's weird? I lived in Arizona for a long time, went to a bunch of Diamondbacks games, mostly when the Cardinals would come to town to play, and never managed to acquire being a fan of the team. So I am weirdly, though I lived in Phoenix for a long time, about 7 years, I'm rooting for the Rangers in this one, mostly because I think every fan base deserves a win sometime. 621 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. Oh, we had just kind of an interesting conversation. You know me, I find all kinds of weird things entertaining. And this is Kareth Fidler, who is the city administrator for the city of Pensacola at the Pensacola Agenda Review Conference last week, talking about something that's very important, which is the program to install smoke alarms, you know, smoke detectors in particularly impoverished homes, because that can save the life of not just an adult, but a kid in the home, right? This is one of those horrible, terrible things when kids die because they don't even know there's a fire because there wasn't a smoke alarm in the house or a functioning one.
City Administrator's communication.
Yes, sir. Council President, I just wanted to thank you and Chief Craner and Habitat and Red Cross for a successful smoke alarm Saturday. I think to date we've given out just over 100 smoke alarms, so making some great progress with the program. So,
thank absolutely. You. And thank you guys as well. And we gave out 3 bed shakers. So that was great.
What? We gave out 3 bed shakers?
The bed shaker. Well, Chief Craner, I don't want to mess this up and try and explain what a bed shaker is. So can you come up and let us know about these 3 bed shakers that we gave out?
You don't have to put a quarter in it.
it's not what you think.
So they're out installing coin-operated bed shakers. Is that what we're talking about? As DC Reeves making the joke, no, that's not what they're talking about. This is Chief Craner.
Council President, I understand the concern for the industry term, bed shaker. It is actually for those that have a hearing impairment. And it actually will shake the bed. It does partner and pair with a smoke alarm. So when the smoke alarm activates in the house, it's kind of like a bedside alarm that shakes the bed.
Awesome.
And we installed one, and it's the first one I've ever seen. So we've never had them. We're excited about it.
And the gentleman that received it, he's a disabled veteran. So he's really excited about it. So thank you.
You know how a thing can be funny 30 seconds ago, and now it's like, oh, well, that seems pretty serious. Because if you can't hear the smoke alarm and you're asleep,
right,
you need something, and they, you know, they probably didn't want to call it other terms they could call it. So, you know, they called it the bed shaker, right, because it's going to create a vibration, let's say, in the bed, most likely, and wake the person up so that they hear the alarm so they can get out and save their lives when they're a disabled veteran. so, you know, things can...
Shaker is better than vibrator.
That's the term I was going to avoid. That's right. All right, 624 on News Radio 92.3. David Wayne's in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Well, the UAW strike against the big three automakers is over now. General Motors has agreed to a tentative contract agreement. GM was the last automaker to reach a deal with the UAW. And like the other two deals, workers will get a 25% pay increase if they ratify the deal. The Department of Education now withholding payments to a student loan servicer over billing statement errors. This is according to the Education Department. The Missouri Higher Education Loan Authority apparently failed to meet its basic obligation of getting out statements in a reasonable time. So that ended in 2.5 million borrowers receiving late statements. And the Senate has now passed an amendment to a spending bill that would ban federal funds from being used to enforce face covering mandates on airplanes, trains, or buses. GOP Senator John Corinth of Texas voted for the amendment. He called it a victory for personal freedom.
Is that John Corinth as a Senate vote?
Yes.
Interesting. Interesting. I mean, in the House, not surprising, Republican
right.
you know, majority, but in the Senate, where things are evenly split, but the, of course, Democrats are the tiebreaker. Interesting. Okay. All right. David, thanks so much for the update. 625 on News Radio 92.3. Jake's got traffic on the fives.
I-10 and Scenic Highway, close to the GE plant, right there in the curve on Scenic. It's closed in both directions due to a vehicle crash. Also, we have FHP rerouting drivers back to the interstate due to a disabled truck near the Dairy Queen. So just in that little condensed area right there on Scenic and 10, it's just really, really bad. If you can avoid that area, please do. This traffic report is brought to you by Frontier Motors, the only dealer that Dave Ramsey recommends in Pensacola. Frontier Motors on Beverly Parkway. Keep sending your texts in to 437-1620. This is News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
God, really, what is the workaround, though? I mean, like, if you're trying to get to I-10,
yeah. there's no camera in that area either, so I can't see what's going on.
The only next closest place you can go is Davis Highway, because there's not even at 9th Avenue, right? So, sorry, folks. I wish I had better news for you. 626 here on News Radio 92.3. Today at the Supreme Court, kind of an interesting case that they're going to hear. Actually, a pair of cases having to do with something we've seen here locally become the source of some controversy at times, which is whether public officials, elected officials, have any right to block people on their social media accounts. And the particulars about the social media accounts are going to be a factor here, because in the one case, and there's two cases, one is O'Connor Ratcliffe versus Garnier. And in this case, you had two Southern California school board members, and that's Michelle O'Connor Ratcliffe and TJ Zane, saying that they blocked parents who criticized them on their personal Facebook and Twitter accounts. What's interesting there is they apparently had private accounts that was like only for family and friends, and then they also had Facebook accounts that they created for the campaign, which then they turned into in office, and they kept those social media accounts. It was very common for people to have both. I think that's actually smart to have separate ones, because keeping them separate a little bit is kind of a good thing. But you had some parents who were angry, and they posted long and repetitive criticisms of these school board members on those social media pages. And at first they would just delete the comments or hide the comments. Eventually they blocked the people. And so they sued. The allegation was that these are public officials censoring the speech of a citizen. Therefore, it's a violation of the First Amendment, that every citizen has the right to say basically anything they want on somebody's social media pages, and you can't stop them and you can't block them. Another variation on this is that when you're blocked, you can't see the information, and prohibiting access to information is kind of another variant on this case. And, as you know, we've had local elected officials run into this as well, which I think is extraordinarily understandable, because people are dumb on social media, and they're trolls on social media. And, you know, I think that sometimes elected officials are dumb and trolls on social media, and sometimes the public, well, many times the public is dumb and trolls on social media. And so the argument is that if you create a government extension of your office on social media, then you have no power to restrict the speech that goes on there, except for maybe within, you know, like laws of decency or something like that. See, I disagree with that, and I'm very curious to see, you know, how this all turns out at the Supreme Court today. And, of course, we won't get a ruling on this for like 5 or 6 months maybe or more. But I don't think the social media account is actually an arm of the government, because let's say the school board member in this case, or a county commissioner or a city council member, doesn't have the government's power behind them. They're one person on a board where you have to vote for majorities. And the fact that they unilaterally control that domain to talk means that it's not an extension of the government. If in this case, if the school board voted to ban people from, I don't know what authority they would have to do it, but, you know, from social media or something like that, like maybe from the district's page, that would be different from an individual. To me, that would be different from an individual, school board member or something like that. There's another case where it's not a separate account, where he basically used his own personal account to then co-opt that for public stuff, not an elected official, actually like a city manager or something. But anyway, those are the cases that are going to be at the Supreme Court. I just wonder, like, what's your recourse when people are terrible on social media if you can't hide, delete, or block and ban them, which is sometimes, unfortunately, the kind of treatment that they deserve.
Sometimes you have to Rosie Angelosi. The IDF moving deeper into Gaza, taking out a top Hamas commander.
The Israeli Defense Force says Nassim Abu Ajina's death significantly harms Hamas. He's accused of directing the October 7th massacre at two specific sites.
Fox's Jonathan Savage. Israel Monday freed a female soldier who had been captured by Hamas on October 7th.
Private Ori Megadish. She was captured during the October 7th massacre outside Gaza. She's now been reunited with her family after a medical examination deemed her healthy. Israel's defense minister says, quote, this is proof of our ability to reach the hostages.
Fox's Lucas Tomlinson. On the Hill, Secretary of State Antony Blinken and Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin will make the case for a $106 billion budget request for Ukraine and Israel aid, and the FBI director and DHS secretary will meet a Senate committee on threats to the homeland. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning. It is 6:31. Partly cloudy right now in Pensacola. I'm David Wayne, and happy Halloween. Lawyers for a man suing the Floribama Lounge say they're hoping to go to trial next spring.
According to the PNJ, a visitor from Missouri claims that he suffered facial fractures, loss of vision, and a catastrophic brain injury thanks to a beatdown by one of the bar's security guards. Attorneys for Gregory Bennett say the attack happened in the gift shop while Bennett was trying to pay his tab. The security guard testified that Bennett was providing alcohol to his underage son and was trying to escort them out. Jack O'Donnell says he also felt a need to defend himself after Bennett gave him a shove. They are suing for over $30,000 in damages, claiming Floribama was negligent in hiring and screening security and providing unsafe security to patrons. Joe Ford, News Radio 92.3.
And thank you very much, Joe, for that. The Pensacola dentist that was convicted of inappropriately touching an employee and several patients will be sentenced early next year on a perjury charge. Channel 3 reporting that Dr. Charles Stamatolis pleaded no contest to felony perjury yesterday. He'll be sentenced January 11th. This dates back to during the legal proceedings over the battery case this past January. Stamatolis violated terms of release by going to Mobile to purchase a car, then lied about it initially, saying he had an emergency. Firefighters in Seminole, Alabama, now shedding some light on the dangers associated with fentanyl exposure. Volunteer Fire Chief Kenny Ping there tells Channel 3 that his assistant chief, who's also his daughter, collapsed after giving Narcan to someone who was overdosing.
She was right there in his face and no air in the camper, little old camper trailer. And so then she just got infected with it.
And that happened on Saturday at a mobile home on Highway 90 near Boggy Lane. Julia Sheck was also given Narcan and fluids before being taken to the hospital. She's since been released. Well, this week, the House expected to vote on an aid package for Israel rather than a combined bill for both Israel and Ukraine. And Congressman Matt Gaetz says, so far, Mike Johnson's tenure as House Speaker has been very good.
In the first 7 months that Kevin McCarthy was Speaker of the House, you know how many single subject appropriations bills we passed? One, in the first, 36 hours of Mike Johnson being Speaker, we already passed one.
And one of Gaetz's main problems with Kevin McCarthy was the use of continuing resolutions rather than single-subject spending bills. The House is expected to vote on an aid package for Israel this week. Speaker Johnson called on President Biden to separate bills for Israel and Ukraine. Well, Governor Ron DeSantis might be losing his grip as being Donald Trump's top challenger for the Republican primary. New poll released yesterday shows Trump leading the Iowa caucus with 43% of the vote there. The Des Moines Register poll shows that DeSantis and former U.N. Ambassador Nikki Haley are now tied for second at 16%. DeSantis is down 3% from the last poll 2 months ago. Haley is up 10 points since that last poll. On the bright side for DeSantis, though, he does have the highest net favorability rating of all the candidates at plus 43%. Trump is at plus 34, Haley at plus 30. The caucus set for January 15th. 6:35 at News Radio, and let's get a look at our traffic on the fives. Jake, what are you seeing now?
If you're headed toward the GE plant on Scenic Highway and I-10 area, a vehicle crash has closed Scenic in both directions. So please use caution in that area. Avoid it if you can. Also, FHP right there on I-10 on that exit for Scenic. They're rerouting drivers back to the interstate due to a disabled truck. If anybody is in that area and they can safely text me, please let me know what's going on here because I have no camera view in that area, so I have no idea what's going on. If you have any traffic info to report, just text me at 437-1620. I'd really appreciate it. News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
And thank you very much. Now our Channel 3 weather forecast.
We do have a cold front that has moved through, keeping things nice and chilly for Halloween. 62 degrees for your high today, partly cloudy skies, lows tonight dropping into the 40s. As you go into Wednesday, waking up very chilly, we will have sunny skies, high near 60 degrees. Wednesday night, temperatures dropping near 42. Stay connected to the Channel 3 News First Warning Weather Team. Download the WEAR-TV weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
Right now, 52 in Pensacola, 54 in Gulf Breeze, and 53 in Milton. Our next news at 7. Breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne, News Radio 92.3.
I'm Jennifer Kishinka with your Money Now. Google CEO Sundar Pichai tried to beat back accusations of unfair dealings with fellow tech giant Apple as he testified in his company's high-stakes antitrust trial. Pichai described a relationship with Apple filled with tension and moments of mistrust as government attorneys questioned him about negotiations with executives at the iPhone maker. Pichai said Google and Apple have both made compromises to keep the partnership alive. Google's lawyers called Pichai as a witness, seeking to undermine the Justice Department's central argument that Google dominates internet search because of anti-competitive agreements that block rivals from gaining market share. China's economy suffered a setback. A survey showed factory orders shrank and construction activity slowed, reigniting growth concerns just as activity appeared to be stabilizing. The closely watched surveys show the world's second largest economy isn't out of the woods as it contends with challenges. On Wall Street, futures pointing to a higher open after stocks soared yesterday. That's your Money Now.
Finding great candidates to hire can be like, well, trying to find a needle in a haystack. Sure, you can post your job to some job board, but then all you can do is hope the right person comes along, which is why you should try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/free. ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. Its powerful technology identifies people with the right experience and actively invites them to apply to your job. You get qualified candidates fast. So while other companies might deliver a lot of hay, ZipRecruiter finds you what you're looking for. The needle in the haystack.
4 out of 5 employers who post a job on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate through the site within the first day. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, free. Just go to this exclusive web address, ZipRecruiter.com/free. That's ZipRecruiter.com/free. ZipRecruiter.com/free.
What'd you do this time, Brad?
I'm in the doghouse after my hunting trip last weekend.
Yeah, I was too. I blew off our date.
How'd you get out of the doghouse?
Stillwater's Day and Medical Spa. I got her a gift card. It took 3 minutes at swmedspa.com. She booked it this Saturday.
Saturday? So 9 holes then?
Tee times at 8.
To enjoy a hassle-free guys weekend, treat her to a gift card from Stillwater's Day and Medical Spa. Follow Stillwater's on Facebook or Instagram to enter contests and win great prizes. Or visit swmedspa.com.
Secret offers, guaranteed returns, over-the-top promises that you too can make fast money. These are all red flags that you should be wary of when looking at investment opportunities. Visit Florida's Office of Financial Regulation website 24/7 to learn what questions to ask before you invest. Remember, if it sounds too good to be true, it probably is. Visit SLOFR.gov to learn more. This message is sponsored by the Florida Office of Financial Regulation, the Florida Association of Broadcasters, and this radio station.
Zelensky, Putin, Ukraine fighting back. The border, the migrants, the policies we lack. The candidates, the primaries, is it fiction or fact? Inflation, recession, buying power, we lack.
Keeping you connected to Northwest Florida and the world.
There's only one.
News Radio 92.3. 92.3.
You've got style. That's what all the girls say. Satin
comes to taxes, there's only one guarantee, that they go up. That's how it works. Government is not free. It's never been free. And we're not naive. If citizens want more services, it would cost more. But those dollars would stay in the Perdido community.
Government light is, in my estimation, no more than a slick style misrepresentation of liabilities that will fall on the new city once incorporated. We hear a bunch of hopeful talks and promises. We hear about roads, but no road department or engineering department. We hear about planning and zoning, but no planning and zoning department. We hear of all these grand plans that can be implemented, but we're given no budgetary analysis for their cost.
It was really interesting to hear the conversation pro and con on the incorporation of Perdido item that was brought before the Escambia County Legislative Delegation last week. That's Senator Doug Broxton and Representatives Michelle Salzman, Alex Andrade. And in case, you know, there's so much background to all of this, but the short version is that in order to even get on the ballot, in order for the people of the vicinity to vote whether to incorporate or not, that has to be a bill that is sponsored by a state representative and a state senator, and they put the bill in, and then it has to be voted, and both sides of the, you know, chamber have to agree, and then it goes to the governor to be signed. And so in this case, it's, you know, it's Doug Broxton's territory and it's Alex Andrade's territory. And Michelle Salzman's there for watching because it's not the south. You know, she's not the south end of Escambia County. But you had the pro and con, and they actually kind of had a debate. It was almost like a legislative debate where you have so much time for the pro and the con. And I mean, I know that these meetings are sort of run by the Tallahassee legislative rules, but it was kind of interesting. And that was the first time I had ever heard Steve Brentro. That was the first voice you hear specifically say, you know, out loud. Well, yeah, I mean, of course it's going to cost money. Which, you know, not to be obvious, but of course it's going to cost money. You know, you can't create a new layer of government and it's going to, you know, be free or cheaper, right? That doesn't make any sense. But the question is,
your choice today says a lot about what you think of the people of Perdido. Do you believe they're worthy of self-determination? We simply ask that you give us the chance to vote this next November.
Okay, so that's one view. The view is, look, the voters deserve the opportunity to make this choice for themselves. The other view, and I don't want to discount this view because there's a lot on both sides of this issue, Ken Phillips, who was speaking for the other side, said,
they're asking for the right to vote. I'm calling on people I voted for to protect me and my citizens, my friends. Protect us from this handful of people. I've lived here 4 years. They lived here 5 years. My family's been in this community almost 60 years. We know what's going on, and we've seen it happen.
And there was a little bit of the, you know, they didn't use the phrase, but kind of like carpetbagger argument, like, you know, we've been here a long time, and these folks have all been here for 4 or 5 years. Now, it's not true that all of the folks had only been here for 4 or 5 years. Some of them have been here quite some time. But the other side, the other part of this argument was kind of the, if you allow the vote to happen, you're putting me at risk. And there's some truth to that, too. Like, imagine you live, take a little bit different example. Imagine you live in a, you know, kind of a rural-ish subdivision of, say, 100 homes, but you're kind of out away from any city or something like that, and it's no HOA. And, you know, you like the way you live. You like, you know, I don't know, parking cars in your lawn, and you like your chain-link fence, and you like letting your dogs roam around or, you know, whatever, okay? You don't like to have to cut your grass every week. And a bunch of the people in that subdivision, which is kind of, again, you know, a loose subdivision, but they want to form an HOA. And what you might say is, why should I be coerced into this thing now? Protect me from them imposing their majority will on me. I bought out here because it wasn't an HOA. Now you want to make an HOA. I get that argument. There's a certain argument that says not just let the people decide, but protect the people who want to stay how it is and how it has always been from those who want to impose upon it something new. That's a fair argument. But you do have rules. There's statutes and procedures in place for creating incorporation. Now, one of the other things that's come up in this context, there's, again, a lot in this discussion. One of the other things that's come up in this context is the question of population density, that they do not meet the population density that is prescribed by statute for an area to even be eligible for incorporation. And so they're asking for a waiver of that requirement. And the argument on the con side is they're not even eligible. Why would you waive a requirement that's meant to prevent something like this from happening? Speaking for the pro folks, what I think their answer would be is the number one thing that they're most concerned about is preserving quality of life, way of life, style of life in Perdido on, you know, in a rarity north of the bay and then south of the or north of the water and then south on the island. And their argument, I think, would go something like this. Well, maybe we're not yet to population density, but by the time we get there, it'll be too late to prevent the problems that we see coming. Almost like you might, again, take a rural area, and then, I mean, obviously Perdido's not rural, but, you know, take a more rural area where they don't meet the population density, but imagine that the county, for example, Escambia County, is approving all of these developments and making life hell for all these people that really want to preserve the rural way of life and don't feel like they have any power to stop the county. What if they all decided to incorporate as a, you know, the rural town of, I don't even know, cantonment, you know? And they said, we want to incorporate because we want to prevent density. Like, there are times when I can see an argument being made that the density requirement would actually go against the reason an area might want to incorporate. And in Perdido, I think they've got more of the right of this that, yes, it's not the statute, but if you can waive that statute in our case, we're trying to prevent something that would, by the time we're eligible, be too late to prevent. Because their argument, clearly their argument is not about improved, you know, roads or parks or police service, sheriff service, or, you know, water or sewer or electricity or anything like that. They're clearly, the thing they're worried about is planning, zoning, development. You know, that's the stuff they're concerned about. And so their argument is, look, we've got a thing we like and it's getting worse all the time right now. They use the example of the 300 apartment the massive apartment complexes that are going up. I mean, there's lots of that. And they say, we want to be able to control that and we want to be able to thwart some of that and make development smarter. And so that's going to still cost money, but that's the one thing that they really seem to be eager about. We'll come back to this in just a second because, like I said, it was a very interesting conversation. 647. And in case you're wondering, I genuinely have no, I don't know. I don't live in Perdido. I've tried to understand the issues as best as I can to represent them, but I don't know how I would vote if I lived there, and I certainly don't have a real interest one way or the other in that area as an outsider. Because I hear both sides, and both sides make passionate arguments that are both, you know, fairly compelling. Jake's got traffic on the fives.
It's a very windy morning out there. Very strong wind gusts are being reported across the Escambia Bay Bridge. So if you're going across there this morning, please use extra caution. Still researching this slowdown on Scenic Highway and I-10. It's not on the interstate. It's just as you get off on I-10 at the Dairy Queen there. Looks like there was a disabled vehicle there earlier that was causing some slowdown. And now a vehicle crash has closed Scenic in both directions if you're headed towards the GE plant. So just still looking for more information on that area, and if we could get a view on it, that would be great. This traffic report is brought to you by Fresh from Florida. Ask for Fresh from Florida by name and look for the sunny Fresh from Florida logo at local grocery stores near you. Join the Fresh from Florida Club at freshfromflorida.com. If you have traffic info to report, text 437-1620. This is News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Thanks so much, Jake. So back to this conversation about incorporating Perdido. Barbara Hobbs was speaking on the con side, and I thought, honestly, I thought this was a very good question for the con side to be asking, aside from the issue of taxes and services and what's the shape of the plan.
Many in our community have asked these questions, and possibly our collective officials will be able to get some straight answers from Mr. Ben Dintro. Sorry. How many BOCC meetings have you attended prior to beginning this incorporation attempt? How many issues did you attempt to resolve unsuccessfully with the BOCC prior to deciding the area needed to incorporate? And what were those issues and why were they left unresolved?
I mean, that's, you know, it's kind of going back to the Declaration of Independence, a long train of, right, you've got to be able to show that there's a good reason over a long period of time that you couldn't get what you wanted out of the less expensive government of Escambia County. I mean, that's a fair question. How much have you tried to solve problems through the county, and how often has it failed, and can you give examples? I mean, that doesn't mean you couldn't incorporate, but and it also doesn't mean you couldn't say, well, there's been a pattern of incompetence or there's been a pattern of failure or something like that. But I mean, it's a fair question to ask, you know, because to up and change, which is always a risk to take to make a change, and then, you know, to increase cost, that's also on the downside. On the other hand, and I thought this was perhaps the, I mean, there's several interesting, compelling moments, but one of the most compelling moments of the night was Buford Lipscomb, who was, I think, the founding pastor. I know he said he was the retired pastor at Liberty Church, very big, successful, you know, network of churches in this area. And he said,
I would like to say in closing, status quo, contrary to some, is really not working. With all respect to our commission, in less than a year, or maybe a year, an unannounced project by the bridge down there, 300 plus units will go in. And upon that completion, there'll be 300 new cars every day.
More than that, even.
On our less than adequate infrastructure already. Folks, can you imagine the intersection down there, especially in the summer? That's not acceptable government in our estimation, along with other issues there.
And nobody can accuse him of being a, you know, outsider, not being from the area for a long time. So there's a lot to happen between now and if this winds up passing the legislature and becoming a voting issue next year. A lot of details to be had, and certainly Steve Brentrow knows that. And, you know, Alex Andrade is going to follow up on that as well to make sure that the information is there. In fact, he said that. You know, one of the key things is to be sure you get good information.
But at the end of the day, the only involvement of the folks up here is a question of whether or not we trust you to make the decision that's right for y'all. But my commitment to everybody in this room is that I will do my best to make sure in as unbiased and unsubjective way as possible, just to provide accurate information and trust that y'all will make the right decision.
And I think he will do that. I know he will do that. But there's another part of this, too, which is I think that if Alex perceives that the Incorporate Perdido folks, the We Are Perdido folks, that, you know, things are not being told the truth about, I don't think Steve Brentrow would do that. OK, I know he's a very honorable guy, so understand me properly. But if he feels like the issues are not clear, the solutions are not being told honestly, or the problems are not being told honestly, I think he would pull the bill. I mean, I think he'd be well within his authority as a state representative to do that, because it's not just a matter of trust the voters for whatever. It's trust the voters for the legitimate things that come before them. And deciding that maybe this thing isn't yet ready, you know, or that there's bad behavior involved. Again, not implying that it would be, but just, you know, if that happened, I think he'd be well within his authority to say, yeah, no, not this year. So we'll see if this gets it all the way through the process. And then, of course, there's going to be a long conversation about whether or not, you know, it makes sense for Perdido to incorporate. You know, Navarro's been trying it for years, and so far nothing, right? But one time in the past, you had Century going. They're probably going to go back the other way. At least I think they should. And, you know, Pensacola, obviously, for a long, 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 long time. Yeah, it's been a separate entity. 653 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, and, of course, Gulf Breeze, and, of course, Milton. 653 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay.
Some folks like to drive alone. Some take their best friend, while others ride with their growing family. But no matter how many passengers you may have, there's a Volkswagen that'll fit you from Piedmore Imports. The all-new 2024 Jetta Sport, a sleek compact sedan now from $24,385. The 2023 Taos S, a sporty crossover with a new lower price of $25,199. The 23 Tiguan S has a third row and now from $29,146. And the family-sized SUV that seats seven for everyone. Comfort. The 2024 Atlas SE, now at Feedmore Imports from $39,421, plus the VW ID4 EV, the all-electric SUV with plenty of space and features, is now from $35,332 at Feedmore Imports. They're not in Car City, so you won't pay Car City prices. Feedmore Imports, 106 New Warrington Road.
Sale prices for DAG, tax, title, and dealer fees. Discount on the new ID4 EV includes $7,500 lease rebate. Details.
Make sure you tune into the Pensacola Expert Panel today at 10 to hear about the big performance the Pensacola Civic Band is having at the Sanger Theater on November 11th as part of the Foo Foo Fest. You'll get all the scoop of the on-Broadway show featuring star Megan Hilty, known for her Broadway performances like Wicked and Smash. Get all the info on Broadway star Megan Hilty and the Pensacola Civic Band on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Keep climbing.
Picked off! He brought it down with one hand!
Got it.
Goes down! Sack!
This is your home for FSU football.
Watch it deep downfield! Touchdown, FSU!
Rolling to his left, they're going to throw. End zone, picked off!
Game over!
Catch live coverage of the Seminoles all season long, right here on your home for Florida State football.
Listen to FSU football on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620. Brought to you by Pensacola Hardware.
Serving overseas was just the beginning. We might be home from war, but our mission continues in communities all across the country. It's why we're out there in times of peace and crisis, providing meals to the hungry and supplies to the sick. It's why we're giving strength to those who are too weak and bringing resources to those without them. Service doesn't stop when we're done serving. It's what makes us the VFW. Learn more at vfw.org.
The Dave Ramsey Show, weeknight 7 to 10 before WEAR TV News on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
National average for a gallon of gas is $3.47, and the rest of my computer will not play. It's just, oh, there we go.
Yeah.
It's kind of one of those,
it's
see,
that.
Have you been good to me lately? Florida is $3.26, Georgia is $2.95, California is $5.26. We'll see if the individual pages show up. $2.89 east and west at the Walmarts in Navarre. If you're in Tiger Point, $2.91 at the foot of the Garcon Point Bridge, $3.12 at Gulf Breeze proper. Oh, well, that's actually relatively cheap in Gulf Breeze proper. I mean, that's rarely that low compared right. to the rest. You know, it's usually like 40 cents more. Now it's like only 20 cents more, which is a good thing. $2.94 at the Raceway in Milton, $2.94 at the Pea Ridge Murphy, $2.95 going through Pace. Most of the area has options for under $3 right now, which is still a lot. Walmart, $2.92 on 9 Mile. Same at the Murphy in front of the Walmart on US 29. And then coming in from the southwest side, $2.92 at the Navy Murphy, or $2.93 at a couple of stations at Pace, the Shell, for example. All right, let's see. Jake is in the got traffic for us on the fives. Jake?
All right, so it's a very windy morning out there, so use caution, especially if you're going across the Escambia Bay Bridge. There's reports of very, very heavy wind gusts in that area. Also, if you're headed towards the GE plant on Scenic Highway, there's a vehicle crash that is closed scenic in both directions just north of I-10. So please avoid that area if you can. If you have any traffic info to report, you can always text us at 437-1620. This is News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Thanks so much, Jake. David Wayne's in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
U.S. forces in the Middle East have now been attacked nearly two dozen times in the last 2 weeks, according to one senior defense official. The rocket and drone attacks have targeted bases in Iraq and Syria. Most of those attacks have been either unsuccessful or disrupted by the military. But some of those, they say, did manage to detonate, resulting in minor injuries to 21 troops. American officials believe Iranian-backed militants are driving the attacks. The Federal Reserve kicks off a two-day meeting today, and once things wrap up tomorrow, they'll be announcing their next decision on interest rates. And Jake, Andrew, happy Halloween. Today is Halloween, which is black cats, other images associated with it. Have a big history going back 2,000 years.
The ancient Celtic fire festival called Samhain marked the close of harvest and the initiation of the winter season. It was believed to be a time when the souls of the dead could return to the earth. Black cats became a symbol of the day because some believed that souls could inhabit their bodies. The broomstick used by witches is symbolic of the magical powers of women because it's employed in the cleansing of ritual places. I'm Mark Mayfield.
Yeah, I don't know about all that, but yeah, I like small Snickers bars.
That's sexism. That's total sexism right there.
What, the women have to get a long pole in order to have power? It's kind of a weird thing for I'm just saying. It's kind of a weird thing to be saying about these women. Sorry. But was that ambient audio from 2,000 years ago?
I believe so.
Listen on air at 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620. News Radio 92.3. WNRP, Gulf Breeze, Milton, Pensacola.